Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf is Ksubais Ayin Dalet. We pick up where we left off yesterday, at the seventh line from the top of the Amid. So you had a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in the following case. A person was Mekadesh Isha. I don't want you to have Nedarim when you come into my family. So he said that at the point of Kiddushin, but he never mentioned anything when he actually married her. Totally omitted any reference to his previous Tanai. What happens now? Rav says she is considered married. Shmuel says she is not. Up until this point, we had two ways to understand this machlekes: Abaye and Rabba. Abaye's approach was, the reason why Rav considers her married, Ein Adam Oisa Bilasa. Bilas is no. A person tries to avoid improper interaction with an Isha. The fact that he interacted with her physically upon marriage makes it into a new relationship. It starts, so to speak, a new slate. So the condition that was applicable at the Kiddushin point was not applicable now. He was willing to actually be Mekadesher anew so that his interaction is proper within the context of marriage. She's a married woman who requires a get if and when she decides to leave him. Shmuel disagreed with that concept. He said the same rules that apply to the Kiddushin, it was on condition that you have no Nedarim, that applies to the marriage as well. Therefore, in this case, she misled him, no marriage. That's Abaye's approach. Rabba learned differently. He was speaking about a very specific type of scenario where two events occur, two separate phases happened. He was Mekadesh with a Tanai, divorced her, and then retook her without discussion, without making any reference to that Tanai. Here, and only in this case would Rav say, why did you ignore their entire concept of Nedarim? Why didn't you mention it? Apparently you gave up on it. And in this case, and only in this type of case, would Rav say, she's now married to him. Says the Gemara on the seventh line from the top, Itmar Nami. We have another Amora who is in sync with Rabba's approach to this sugya. Itmar Nami, Amar Abacha Bar Yaakov, Amar B'Yechanan. And again, Rabba is of the opinion that if it was in one swoop, he was Mekalish with a Tanai, which was not fulfilled, and then he proceeded straight into marriage without discussing the Tanai, it doesn't work. It is presumed that he's marrying with that same mindset. I don't want a nether. The only time it can work, according to Rav, is if it was a two-phase process. He was Mekadesh with a Tanai, but then divorced her, and then retook her without making any mention of that Tanai. Here we have grounds. We have reason to assume that he's ignoring that Tanai. He's giving it up. And the same pshat was adopted by this man, the Omar. Omar b'acha bar Yaakov bar b'yechnon, ha-mekadesh al-tanai u-baal. He was Mekadesh an Isha with a condition. On condition that you don't have Nedarim, even if you proceeded with marriage, u-baal, you got involved with her physically, divrei ha-koel, eino tzrichai menu get, all agree, no get is needed. If it turns out that she did not fulfill her part of the agreement, if she did not keep her Tanai. Clearly, even though there was a ball, it doesn't matter. Because it is presumed to have been done with the same type of mindset as per the Kiddushin, which was conditioned upon a certain Tanai. So the only time it can theoretically work is if he was Megarisher. So he terminated that relationship, so to speak, and retook her, remarried her without discussing any Tanai. Now, perhaps you can say he didn't care about the Tanai, but otherwise, he was Mekadesh on Tanai and then was Baal without discussing the Tanai. It's assumed that he still wants the tonight to be applied. Esve Rab Acha, Bred Rab Ika Bar Achte. So Rav Ika was his nephew, Bar Achse, the daughter, the son of his sister, of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's sister. I have a kash on you. You're telling me that when I do a maisa later on, it must be consistent with the previous tanai. We don't view it anew. Right? I have a kash. Chalitza mutas kshira. It's a brisa. If one was tricked into doing a chalitza to a yevama, he wanted to really be miyabim her and they didn't want him. So they tricked him into doing the chalitza. It works. Eizo hi chalitza mutas. Oh, what exactly is? How do we define mutas? There are two ways. Omresh lakish. Kol sha'im ralei chalitza. We tell him, look, you do chalitza, ubekachata kainza. That's a way of acquiring her. So we're misleading him, we're fooling him, because really he's meant to do the chalitza, we're allowed to do this. To get him to do it, and once he does the chalitza, she's free to go. That's Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechanan, he disagrees. It wouldn't work if he has something else in mind. Ani Shaina, I have a halacha that Bein Sheneskaven Hu, Veleneskavna Hi, whether a case where she, where he is trying to do the chalitza, and she is not being machaven, she's not being mindful of what's happening. Bein Sheneskavna Hi, Veleneskavna Hu, or she is focused and he's not. Chalitza Sapsula doesn't work. Achi is Skavnu Shneyem. They both have to have Kavana. Vat Amr's Chalitza Sakshera, and you're proposing that if you fool him into it, you get him to do the Chalitza thinking that it's a Yibam, it works? Of course not. Elam Rabbi Yechanan. Rather, says Rabbi Yechanan, you know what the Braisa meant when it said Chalitza Mutas Kshera? Of course, he was trying to do Chalitza. But he thought he's going to make some money on it. Kol Emily, we tell him, Chalitza, you be a nice fellow. You do Chalitza, you'll get paid for it. Almanas Shatitin L'chamasayim. This is on condition that she pays you 200 zuz. He does the Chalitza and never sees the money. It works. Why? How come you don't have to fulfill that condition? Alma, apparently, Kivan the Avad Masa. Since he actually did a masa of chalitza, and as Tosis points out, when he actually was involved in the masa, he failed to make any reference to his tanai that he mentioned earlier. Achli l'tanai. The assumption is the masa canceled the tanai. Right? So Tosis asks, what do you mean? So, how can the tanai ever work? I make a tanai and I make a transaction that follows a tanai. So a tanai expires because I did a masa afterwards. So he says, no. The Gemara at this point figured that in order for the tanai to take effect, it has to be mentioned at the moment of the masa. As opposed to this case where, sure, he was promised 200 zuz 10 minutes ago. But when he actually did the chalitza, nobody mentioned it again. So the masa sort of overrides the tanai, and we ignore the tanai. Hachanami here as well. In the case of the isha, or the nadarim, right? He made a tanai. I'm engaging you on condition you don't have a neder in your life. You're not loaded with nadarim. She did have nadarim. And he proceeded, he married her, he was baller, without discussing the darim again. Hachanami, given the ball, achuli achli l'tanoi. Once he does the maisa, that maisa overrides the tanai. It's stronger than the tanai. This is action, and that's only words. So even in this case, you should say that the kedushin works, that the marriage works, and she needs a get. She's basically asking a kasha. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, who was in line with Rabba, explained that this whole idea of a Rav, that even if the Tanai was not fulfilled, she still is considered an Eishes Ish, that's only in a very specific case where he engaged her and then divorced her and retook her without discussing the Tanai. But if it's one continuous process, he made a kedushin with a tanai and then proceeded into marriage without interruption, proceeded straight into marriage. Even if you haven't discussed the tanai at that very moment of marriage, the tanai is still applicable. There's a kasha from a brisa, from Rabbi Yechanan, from Chalitza, we see that a masa, which does not have a tanai stipulated along with the masa, then we ignore the tanai, which was previously laid about, because the masa without the tanai is stronger. Amar lei, bar beirav. So one of the talmidim in the yeshiva responded to the one that was asking this kasha. Shapik Amris? Is what you're saying true and correct? The way you're interpreting the halacha here, that the chalitza without the tanai is stronger than the tanai because a masa is stronger. Actually, that is not the reason why the chalitza works. Why? Michti, let's take a close look. Kol tanai meicha gamrinan. Where is the source for the concept of making a tanai, making a condition? Mitanai bnei gad bnei Reuven. Right? When the shvatim of bnei gad bnei Reuven wanted to stay, outside the on the other side of the Jordan River, Moshe Rabbeinu made a tanai, made a deal. Look, you'll get the territory there, but on condition that you come help your brethren when they wage war. The concept of tanai is rooted in that story, in that episode. And therefore, says the Gemara, for a tanai to have legal standing, it must be comparable to that tanai that we find in the Torah. And work according to the same guidelines. If in fact we're speaking about a tanai, a masa, that can be brought about through an emissary, through a third person, just like over there. Moshe Rabbeinu could have given them the territory through Yeshua, his shliach. Have itno. So this type of situation allows, it enables conditioning. But if it's something like chalitza, which you cannot do through a third party, it's personal. The Yavam has to personally perform the chalitza. You can't do it through a shliach. So it's dissimilar to the story in the Chumash. Lo yihaveh tanai. So you can't apply a tanai to this type of deal. Asks Tosfos, what kind of svar is this? I mean, if you're comparing it to the Bnei Gad, so perhaps it only applies, tanai can only be applied to allocating territory? I mean, it has to have some sort of svara, says Tosfos. So he says like this. The svara is, if it's something that I can perform through a shliach, that indicates that it's under my control. It's biyodai, something that I control, that I manipulate, that I direct. I can do it through a shliach as well. So then I can apply a tanai to it. It's in my hands to tweak it, to arrange it, to manipulate according to my needs, as opposed to something which I cannot do through a shliach. It's something very personal and absolute and defined. It does not allow for manipulation and tweaking and rearrangement and tanaim. Interesting thesis. So bottom line is, sure, the chalitza works because even though he was promised the world, 200 zuz, and he didn't get it, doesn't matter. You can't make a tanai by chalitza to begin with. So it has nothing to do with our sugya, that a tanai was not actualized, it was cancelled. The tanai never took off in the first place. Asks the Gemara, really? Tanai only works with something that you can perform through a third person, v'habia, interaction with a woman. It's personal. You can't do it through a shliach kihasam, like, the story of Bnei Gad. You can't. It's not comparable. And we find that a tanai works. We had this yesterday. He's boiled the isha, manas, that the father's okay. Why does tanai apply in such a case? Answers the Gemara. Well, once we know that v'mekalish isha through kesef or through shtar, which can be done through a shliach, allows for a tanai. So all these different, you know, forms of mekalish and isha compared to each other, hasam shum de iskush havayis ladati, all different forms of marriage, whether it's kesef, shtar, or biar, compared to each other, is based on a pasuk. So whatever applies to one applies to the other. If tanai applies to kesef, it applies to biar as well. Here comes yet a third approach to the machlekes Rav Shmuel, which we had yesterday. Amar Rav Ula, Bar Abba, Amar Ula, Amar Belazar. Hamakalish b'milva ubal. You see, he holds, even if condition was conditioned, and that condition was not kept, but if they proceeded to bal, the condition expires. A person does not want his interaction to be inappropriate and zinus. This whole discussion that we had, Rav and Shmuel, that's when they only got as far as marriage, as chuppah. But if there was actual physical interaction, all conditions are off the table. That's Ula's approach. Hamakalish b'milva. Suppose the isha owes him some money. There's a loan between them. And he gives it up. He forgives the loan. We know that doesn't work for kedushin because he didn't actually give her something tangible. It's a sugya m'sechas kedushin. So he made that type of ineffective kedushin, ubal, but then he proceeded and did bal. Or another example, al tanai ubal. He did a condition and condition was not kept, but he proceeded with bal. Bipachas mishav pruta ubal. He gave her less than a pruta, which is not a proper kedushin, and he did a bal. Divrei hakoyel tzricha hemenu get. According to this approach, all shitas, whether Rav or Shmuel hold, that she's a married woman, she needs a get. A person is not willing to have his interaction inappropriate. Once he did bal, his mindset is, look, even if the kedushin was not effective, I want this to become the kedushin, I want it to be my wife, then I'll divorce if he needs to. Amar Rav Yosef bar Abba, Amar Rav Nachum, Amar Ba'ami. He disagrees slightly. He says, HaMakadosh v'pachas mishava pruta ubal tzricha menuget. I agree with you on this case. If you gave her less than a pruta and then did bal, she's married. Because he understood that a penny is worthless. And the bal was l'shem kedushin. Baha, in this case, hudalei toy, there was no room for mistake. He understood his kedushin was worthless, and the bal made the kedushin. Aval bahanach toy, but in the other cases, milva and tanai, perhaps he was unaware of the fact that his original kedushin doesn't work. So who's to say that he wants his bal to be a kedushin? So only in this case does it work. Amar Rav Kahana, Shmei d'ula. Here we have another quote from Ula, which is consistent with the previous quote from Ula. Hamakalash al tnai ubal, tzricha menuget. Even though the condition was with a tnai, which did not pan out, but since it was bal, she's married, needs a get. Zehayamas. In fact, it was a story as such. Chachamim did not have the ability to let her go without a get. They applied a get in this case. Lafuki mehaitana. This whole discussion is opposed to the following sheet, which holds that if there was a tanai, the tanai did not get actualized, she's not a married woman, despite the fact that they lived as married. The Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmur b'Shmuel. V'ilo netfasa asur. Pasuk says a married woman who was involved with a stranger, it was a willing interaction. She was lo netfasa, she wasn't grabbed by the other person. She's asur to her husband. So we have a diuk, hana tfasa muteris. But if she was grabbed, she's mutter to go back home. Now the pasuk has a word vihi to indicate this is typical. This is the standard case. Netfasa is aser, otherwise she's mutter. But there is another case. There's another similar situation, viyesh lecha acheres, which does not have to live up to these guidelines. Viyesh lecha acheres, we have another case, she'af al pi shelo netfasa muteris. A married woman, strayed, was involved with a stranger without nitfasa, without being forced, she can go back home. How can you have such a situation? Ve'ezoi. What is that? Zu shekudushe kudushe tos. Here's the case. You have an isha married based on a certain condition that was stipulated at the point of kiddushin, which did not pan out. So she's married for 10 years. It turns out that the kedushin was invalid. Shafilu b'no murkav al ksef, even if she has a son riding on her shoulders. She's married for many years with children. She just turned around and leave him. Clearly, this Tana holds, even if there was physical interaction between them, it's irrelevant because it was based on a given notion which was stipulated at the point of Kedushin, which did not pan out. She's not a married woman. So in this case, theoretically, if she was involved with another man during her tenure with her husband, and then it turns out that the whole marriage never happened, she's not a Zoyna. She can go back and remarry that first husband. Okay, so just let's clarify the last Shtikl Gemara. Let's summarize. We had Machlokes Rav Shmuel in a case where he made a Tanai by Kedushin, but then he married without a Tanai. What happens? Rav says she's married. Shmuel says she's not. We had Abaye who says it's Tully in the question of whether a person is interested in a Bilas Nus or not. Rav says no way, and therefore his interaction turns into a new Kedushin. Shmuel says it was based on the previous notion, no Tanai, no Kedushin, no marriage. Rabbi says we're speaking about a very specific case. He was Mekadosh with a Tanai, divorced her, and then retook her without discussion. Here there's a question of whether perhaps he gave up on the Tanai. That's Rabbi's approach. And in fact, this approach was backed up by another Amora today. Then we have the third pshat, which is really like Ula's pshat here, that all would agree. Even Shmuel would agree if it was a Be'ila. He keeps away from his nose. Of course, it's a brand new marriage, irrespective of the fact that she did not fulfill her commitment in terms of being Mekayim the Tanai at the point of Kedushin. When does Shmuel say it's not a marriage? When it was just chuppah, it was just marriage without Bia. But Bia, sort of changes it around and turns it into a new marriage, in which case she needs a get. Tan Rabbanan will enter the Brice, Holcha Eitzel Chacham V'Yitira. This fellow made it Tanai. I'm marrying you on condition that you're not carrying nedarim with you. You have no oaths, you have no restrictions, you have no vows. It turns out she has nedarim, but she runs to the Chacham, who has the ability to be matir the nether, to undo the nether. Mekudeshes. Okay, now she's safe, it works. Even though she came into the marriage full of nedarim. Fact is, going forward, she has no nedarim. But Eitzel Reifi Beripoi, let's say she had physical deficiencies. He made a condition, I don't want these things. She comes in with these issues, but then runs to a doctor to heal her. Eitzel Reifi Beripoi, Oysa Einu Mekudeshes, it doesn't work. What's the difference? Mabin Chacham LeReifi. In both cases, she misled him. She did not conform to his conditions. She had nedarim. She had deficiencies. What's the difference between one and the other? The answer is very simple. Chacham oikeres haneder miikarei. Keep in mind that a chacham, when he nullifies a neder, it's not going forward. You see, you approach him, you tell him, look, had I known this is going to be an issue, I would have never made the neder. So you're undoing the original, notion, so to speak. You're nipping it at the bud, retroactively. So even though it was done now, but it gets applied retroactively, so it turns out she never had a nether, so she's safe. As opposed to a reife, that's going forward. It doesn't undo it l'mafreya. The reife ain't a merafe ela makan labo. But at the time of Kiddushin, she was unwell. It's not a Kiddushin. Asks the Gemara. So by matir neder it works. Vatani, you have a brayse that it doesn't work. Eitzel chacham b'yitira, eitzel reifa v'ripa oisa. Both cases, einam kodeshes. Amar Rava. Like Kasha, the answer is ha Rabbi Meir. The brayse that going to a reif to a chacham undoes it retroactively, in which case she's safe and it works. That's Rabbi Meir. Who doesn't mind an isha going to the bezin? The husband, he doesn't care if the isha goes to the chacham. It's fine. Ha Rabbi Lezer, the brayse which indicates otherwise is Rabbi Lezer, explains the Gemara. Ha Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir holds, the Amar Adam Roitzer Shetiz Baze Yishte BeBezin. The husband is not too particular about his wife going and shaming herself and by the bezin in public and undoing her nedarim. He's okay with that. It's your business. It's your choice. So even if she had to resort to going to the bezin to undo the neder, it works. It's okay. is consistent with his wishes, and once it's done, Lamafreya, it turns out she never had a nether. And the Kedushin was Chal, as opposed to Rabbi Lezer. Ha Rabbi Lezer, the other Bryce, is Rabbi Lezer. The Amma Ein Adam Roitze Shetizbaz Ishte Bebez. The person is not willing to allow his wife to go embarrass herself in public and take care of her vows. So she entered the marriage with vows. Even if she has a way out, she can go to the Chacham to undo it. He doesn't want it. He's not interested in embarrassing his wife like that. It stigmatizes him as well. He's not interested. So, it's not a condition. Where do we find these two shittos? Mahi, this none. We have a Mishnah Maseches Git. Hamoyti is ishte mishim neder. This fellow says, look, I hear that you have all kinds of nedarim. I'm not interested. So he divorces her. Lo yachzer, you should know, you can't take her back. Mishum shemra, lo yachzer. Likewise, if he divorces his isha because there are some bad reputations about her, you should know, lo yachzer, you can't take her back. When Rashi brings, according to one pshat in the Gemara, the concern is that he might have second thoughts. And therefore we tell him in advance, look, you should know, you're making a final decision. Don't ever come back and complain. You cannot say, down the road, you can't say, had I known that I can take care of the nether with the chacham and undo it, I would never have divorced her, never in my life. You should know, you're making a decision for all time. Same thing with the Moitzi Shemra. You can never come back and say, well, it turns out that these were just unfounded, false rumors. Had I known, I never would have divorced her. We tell him, look, before you do it, think into it, investigate the matter, it's a final decision. Otherwise, you can run into trouble down the line. So that is the first shita. Shitas Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, all depends. Kol neder sheyodu bo ravim leyachshir. Halacha is, a person makes a neder b'ravim, in public. It becomes like part of the public record. You can't undo that neder. Whether it's in front of 3 people, in front of 10, we'll see soon in the Gemara. So if it's Isha, was purported to make an adarim out in the street. So Rashi brings it's pritzes, it's inappropriate, it's not sneers to convey your private matters in public. So in this case, we apply a penalty. If your divorces are based on that issue, you can't take her back. That's it, she's out. Hamoitzi, Rabbi Da'imer called neder sheyado boi rabin. If it's a neder that is publicly known, that's inappropriate. Layachser, he shouldn't be taking her back. But if it's not something which is publicly known, he can take her back. Rav Meir Omer, he has a different perspective on this halach. Kol neder shetzorach chakiras chacham leyachzer. If the reason for the get was because she made a neder which requires approaching a chacham to discuss it, to undo it, in that case, we say, lo yachzer. You're divorcing her because of that, you're not going to take her back. Why? So Rashi explains. Rameh's concern is that he might turn around and say, ooh, had I known that the Chacham could have taken care of this nether, I would never have divorced you. So we tell him, be careful. You're going to divorce her, it's a final deal. But if it's just a personal nether between husband and wife, something that the husband can himself nullify, he can do a first nedarim. So in that case, there's no chashash of him turning around and regretting it. He can't, what can he claim? If I would have known, it's something personal, you could be made for. You chose not to interfere with the nether, and he divorced her instead. Too bad on you. You can never turn around and regret what you did. She might get married to somebody else and he'll come around and say, no, she's my wife, I never had this in mind. You can't do that. You know full and well this is a personal nedarim, nefesh, something that you could have taken care of yourself. Why didn't you? Apparently you weren't interested in her. That's it. So he never has a claim to undo his get. Amar Belezer, lo yasru tzorach el v'pnei she'enu tzorach. Rav Lezer has yet a fourth approach to this halacha. He says, really, one is not willing to allow his wife to embarrass herself in the Bezdin, you know, to seek, you know, they have Aras Nedarim in public. So, if we're discussing a serious nether, which requires tending to by, you know, by the Bezdin, by the Chacham, he can never turn around and say, well, had I known that she could address it in Bezdin, I would never have divorced her. Because the truth is, you don't want your wife to go to Bezdin. So you can never claim otherwise. The only reason why the Chachamim tell us that if grounds for divorce was a nether that requires Bezdin, you should know once you divorce, you can't take her back. The only reason why they made that Isser, they made it absolute, because it might lead to another case where her nether was not something which was so serious, which needed a Chacham's attention. Something personal the husband could have taken care of. And then there's a real concern that he might turn around and regret what he did. He'll say, had I known that I could have been made for a nether, I never would have divorced her. Now I know, I'm being mevatel the get. So according to Reb Elazar, if it's a serious nether that requires Bezdin, he can never say that. Because the truth is, you would not have wanted her to go to Bezdin. So you can't claim otherwise. But it might lead to another case where it's a personal nether that he could have done it himself, and then I'll say, well, had I known, I would have done it. I want her back. Okay, so bottom line is, from the whole, you know, Mishnah, you see that there's Reb Meir who says that a husband does not mind if his wife goes to Bezdin, and Reb Elazar disagrees. My time with Reb Yehuda. And Reb Yehuda told us a halacha, interesting halacha, if you make a nether, berabim, you can never undo it. How do we know this? Tachsiv, this was by the Givonim, this nation that sort of tricked Yeshua, they pretended to be from, you know, an area outside Eretz Yisrael, and they came from afar to make peace. And they were taken, you know, the Jews were taken by the ruse, and they swore to them, they said, we're not going to harm you. And then it was discovered that they were just imposters. They were locals in disguise. They didn't strike them. Because the leaders of the nation had already sworn to them. Question is, why couldn't they just undo the nether, undo the shvua? It was based on false pretenses. There's an easy way out there. Apparently, because it was berabim, it becomes part of the public domain. You can't just go undo that. V'kama rabim. What is considered a rabim? We have a machlekes. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Amar Shloisha, three. As we find in the pasuk by the Zavav, she has dam for yamim rabim, and we darshan yamim means shnayim, plural is two, and the rabim means another day, three. So we see that rabim is three. Rav Yitzchok Amar Asara, you need to have 10 people around at the nether. Eidok sibu, as we see in this pasuk, kenish b'lem nesia eida. The leaders of the Eda, the pasuk specifically uses the word Eda to indicate the number, which is referred to by the word Eda, is required. Eda means 10, as we find by the Meraglim. La Eda Hara Azois, which is actually the source for the halacha that you need 10 people by a minion. So Eda is 10 people. Let's go back to Rav Meir Rav Elazar for a moment. Rav Meir Oimer called Neder Shetorach Chakiras Chacham L'Yachsir. He says, look, we're concerned that he might be Makalka Le'isha. He's going to give her a nether, send her off, she'll marry somebody else, he'll come around, and he'll say, 1 second, I have second thoughts, this is not what I meant. This is a nether that I could have taken care of with the Chacham, I could have undone it. I would never have divorced you. So we tell him, be careful, Le'yachsir. It's a done deal. You'll never take her back. This way, he can never come and complain. Because, again, Reb Meir is based on the idea that a person is really willing to allow his wife to go to Bezdin. So that would allow him to come complain. I would have done that. We tell him, no, be careful, it's a done deal. Reb Elazar Oimer, just the opposite. A person is not interested in having his wife embarrass herself in public. The only reason why they don't allow this fellow to take her back in a case where she made a serious nether which requires a Chacham's involvement is not because he can complain straight out, I would have done things otherwise. You would not have done things otherwise. You would not have done You would not have allowed it to go to Bezdin. It's only because it might lead to another case where it was a very personal nether that does not require professional, you know, attention. And he could say, look, had I known that I can do it myself, I would have taken care of the nether and never divorced her. But if it's a neder that requires a professional chacham's involvement, in that case he has no claim because he wouldn't really want his wife to go to bezin to begin with. Ma'ika miflugi, what's the point of machlokes? Rameyav savar adam roitze, should this baza ishta be bezin? Rameyav says a person is willing to allow his wife to run to bezin, take care of her. Nedarim, Rameyav disagrees, Rameyav savar, ein adam roitze, should this baza ishta be bezin? So the bottom line is, we have a teres tava kasha. Because we had the halacha of an isha who comes into the marriage with nedarim or blemishes, contrary to the tznai that was set forth at the point of kiddushin. So when it comes to refuah, we say, well, it's going forward. It doesn't really address your condition at the point of kiddushin. You were in non-compliance of your tznai, no kiddushin. When it comes to nedarim, we look at it differently because the neder is undone retroactively. So according to one brisa, it works. According to the other brisa, it doesn't. The Gemara says the machlekes is based on whether or not a person is interested in having his wife be mevaza herself on bezin. That's her mayor. The other brisa disagrees, which is according to Shita Rabbi Lazar, ein adam roitze shetis baza ishtu bebezin. This is not what I had in mind, and therefore there's no kedushin. All the best to you, and atzlacha rabba.